Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. I am Reverend Cora Glass. I am a deacon in connection with this congregation and serving our campus ministries across Michigan. It's a joy to be in worship with you today as we seek to know God, love God, and serve God together. I would welcome you today to find the connection card in your bulletin. This card gives you a chance to share that you are here with us today and also has a bunch of little boxes you can check off to indicate different things in the life of the church that you might be interested in connecting with. If you are worshiping online, hello and welcome. We hope that you will also let us know that you are worshiping with us today. We are glad that you are with us. This morning, you might notice that our pastors, John, Lindsay, and Lynn are not among us, but you have a fabulous team of worship leaders helping us to connect with God this morning, including Deacon Loretta, Bruce, Bob, and Rose, and myself. At this time, I would welcome if there's any children who have not connected with our Sunday school program or our nursery care to know that those are available, and you can step outside to see one of the ushers, and they will lead you to the right spaces to connect with the other youngest of our congregation. We have a couple announcements this morning that I want to lift up for you. We are in the season of Lent, which means that our eyes are looking forward to Easter. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up on March 21st, 10 a.m. in Brighton and 1 p.m. in Whitmore Lake. Every spring, we invite children and their families to come to this free outdoor Easter egg hunt and share the joy of Easter with our children and our grandchildren. We'll have different areas for the Easter egg hunt to help spread things out, but siblings are always welcome to hunt for eggs together in the same area. To make all this happen, we appreciate if you could register in advance. You can find that registration page on our website. We also have an opportunity for service through our Easter food baskets. We definitely need volunteers for this opportunity. This Easter season, you can help prepare a box of nutritious food for families in Whitmore Lake facing food insecurity. There's several family-friendly ways to participate. On Wednesday, March 25th in the morning, you can meet at a local grocery store to help transport the groceries used to the Whitmore Lake campus and help set up for the food basket packing. That food basket packing happens on Thursday, March 26th in the evening. We'll pack 40 food baskets. You can work on your own or as a family. And then on Saturday in the morning, on March 28th, we distribute those food baskets to those who are in need. And so we need some volunteers to help with that. You can find that on that little green card. There's check boxes for each of those opportunities, or you can sign up on our website. We have this Thursday a great opportunity to join our United Methodist Women in Faith's general meeting and luncheon. That's at noon, and Carol Reif will be giving the program about our prayer quilt ministry. So if you've ever wanted to know a little bit more about the quilts that we pray for, bless, and share each week, you can attend that program Thursday at noon. And finally, on April 11th, we have a half-day retreat opportunity for moms called Morning for Moms. I'm helping lead that alongside Pastor Lindsay, and we will have childcare available for this free morning of being still and knowing God's presence is with us. That registration is online, and we would appreciate knowing if you plan to join us by April 8th. With that, I invite us to join in song together as we sing, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy."
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we call out to you as so many in our world are suffering. Show us how to love and lead in your name and spread your love and light to all in despair. Help us to spread the hope of your salvation through our prayers and through our actions. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew verses 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bob. God is good.
All the time.
Would you pray with me? Good Lord, may the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer and the one who calls us to make disciples of all. When I was a kid, I had a paper route. Now, I know there's probably quite a few people in here that aren't sure exactly what a paper route is. But as old people know. And I used to have 75 customers, Detroit News, Monday through Saturday. I'd get on my bike and go down and get the papers and pick them up. Sundays, the Detroit News was thick. My dad wanted to read the Sunday paper before anybody. So I allowed him to drive me down to the paper station and pick up the papers. And then we would drive on the route, and he would read the papers. I would deliver them. I'd come to the car and get a bunch, and they'd go deliver them, come to the car. When it was really cold, he was really nice, because he would take like a half a block, and he would deliver them, and I would drive the car. So I had it pretty easy on Sundays. There was one time I tried to do it on my bike, and my bike broke in half, so we figured we'd go back to the driving in the car. Also, the nice thing was when we got done delivering the papers, my dad would take me out and buy me breakfast at the Americana restaurant in Detroit, and after that, he taught me to drive. We would go out on the road. This was before I had a permit, but he would take me, and we would get in the car, and he would say, we wouldn't go to Federal's parking lot. We go out on the road, and he would say, what do you want to do today? I says, well, I'm not sure what I want to do, but I tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to make left turns because I'm not really comfortable with left turns yet. He said, okay, go up the corner and turn left. Then he said, go up the next corner and turn left. Then he said, go up to the next corner and turn left. I made more left turns that day, but by the time I got done, I was very comfortable with left turns. Following week, we got in the car, got the papers, delivered them, went to breakfast, got in the car, and he says, what do you want to do today? I said, well, I'm not real comfortable getting on and off the freeway. He says, okay, go up here to Southfield Freeway and get on. I don't know if you're familiar with Southfield Freeway from 8 Mile to Ford Road. Every single mile is on and off, on and off, on and off. And that's what I did. We went from Ford Road to 8 Mile to Ford Road to 8 Mile, and we must have got on and off the freeway 47 times. I don't know if that's the exact number, but that's what we did. And what in the following week, got in the car, and my dad says, what do you want to do today? I said, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, Dad, that's okay with me. But what I realized is what my dad was doing was finding out what was hard for me to do and then causing it to be something I would learn. And I said, okay. Now, I'm on the ADD team, and when they selected this book for the Lenten service, I was looking at it, and I thought to myself, man, I'm glad I'm not giving the message on this one. This is really tough. Evidently, my dad channeled himself through John and said, Bruce thinks this is too hard to do, so you got to figure out some way to get him up there. So here I am. But I learned a lot by doing this. Our scripture from Matthew 10 focuses on Jesus commissioning the 12 disciples to prioritize the lost sheep of the house of Israel over Gentiles or Samaritans, marking a targeted initial training mission. Key themes included the urgency of the message, relying on God for provision, and focusing on those ready to receive the gospel. But before we get to the point, we look back at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus calls the disciples to service. They leave their families behind, they follow Jesus. We move from chapter 4 to chapter 5, we learn about the Beatitudes, and then we heard about all that are blessed in God's world. The list seems to be inclusive to all. From that point forward, we hear about the miracles of Jesus and the teachings of the disciples until we get to chapter 10 in our scripture for today. Jesus sends out the 12. The target ministry is the lost sheep. The directive to go specifically to Israel emphasizes a divine order in God's plan of salvation, starting with the chosen people. The central message is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus gives authority to heal, cast out demons, and minister, demonstrating the power of the kingdom. Disciples are instructed not to take extra supplies, teaching them to rely on God's provision and the hospitality of those they serve. The instruction to shake off the dust from their feet suggests moving on from those who refuse the message and not wasting time on persistent rejection. A core principle is that the ministry should be done without seeking personal gain, mirroring the grace of God. The passage is often interpreted as a short-term training mission designed to prepare the disciples for a broader global mission later. So why are the disciples instructed to avoid the Gentiles and the Samaritans and go to the lost sheep? Unlike my dad, that thought the best way to learn was to tackle the hard things first, Jesus used this as a kind of a training period for the disciples. The target for the disciples was the lost sheep. The fact that we consider them part of the sheep herd tells us that they are still part of God's chosen people, but somewhere they lost their way. This way, the disciples are going out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons for those that were at least familiar with God's kingdom, even though they drifted away for a while. As an extension of Jesus' own ministry, the disciples are to preach the nearness of the kingdom and to do the works of healing. They became channels of grace to those in great need, the lost sheep. Does this mean that God and Jesus have turned their back on the Gentiles and the Samaritans? No. I believe that this was to teach the disciples and to give them confidence in their ability to do what Jesus was sending them out to do. Jesus knew it would not be easy going for the disciples, but he did give them the assurance that he would be there with them as they went. We read in Matthew 10, verses 16 to 20, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." The disciples knew that God and Jesus had their back and would be with them the entire journey. When I first started studying the Bible, learning about God's word, I was taught to take the Bible seriously, but not always literally. So many times I see people taking things out of context to make it work for whatever they wanted to do in their lives. But they did that without really thinking about what God intended for the statement that they're using. When Jesus said to avoid the Gentiles and the Samaritans, he did not mean forever. He meant for now. He knew the disciples had a big job ahead of them, and he wanted to give them the best chance that they had to spread that word. In verse 7, it said, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." Up until now, we've been talking about Jesus telling the disciples to avoid the Gentiles and the Samaritans. But we know the rest of the story. John 3, 16 and 17, that I like to call the baseball scripture. Because anytime you go to a baseball game, there's always somebody's got a sign up that says John 3, 16. John 3, 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." When we read scripture, we need to look at the whole picture, not just one or two verses at a time. Staying on a baseball theme, when a manager tells a batter to take a pitch, and when he tells a batter to take a pitch, that means let this pitch go by without swinging at it. He means this pitch, not all the pitches. He'll tell you what he wants to do on the next pitch, and that's what Jesus did for the disciples. He moved on to the next pitch. In John 3:17, the last line says, "But to save the world through him." Not just the lost sheep, but the world. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And God and Jesus are here for all of us. I think I've heard that someplace before, too. So we heard some of the reasons why Jesus told the disciples to avoid the Gentiles and the Samaritans. But now we move to the end of Matthew's book. This is right after the resurrection when the disciples first encountered Jesus. Chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 is also known as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded for you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So now, we know the rest of the story. Jesus first sent out the disciples to help the lost sheep and return them to the fold. After that, he sent out the disciples to help us all. Now it's up to us. We're called to make disciples of all of God's children. We are all brothers and sisters in God's family. So let's help the family grow with God's word. My dad's been gone for about 34 years, but he still has a big influence in my life. I guess he was right when he tried to teach me starting with the tough stuff. Takes me out of my comfort zone and helps me grow in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we are called to know God, love God, and serve God. One of the ways we can serve God is by building up the family and making disciples of all of your children. Help us help them become disciples so that they may know your love and feel your love as we do. Amen. And I said it in the sermon, but I'm going to say it again because you would be disappointed if I didn't. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Tell the world what he came to say.
I am truth and I am light.
Tell the world what he came to say.
Love the Lord with all your might.
Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go, go and tell the good news. Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go into the world and tell the good news.
Everyone, let us be in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Creator, on this fourth Sunday in Lent, the Ides of March, we celebrate the impending arrival of the vernal equinox and the warmer days that will bring. Your sunshine graces our lives, even when the world seems a very dark place. We will see crocus soon and robins and tulips. We praise you for the wonder that surrounds us when we open ourselves to see the beauty. As the snow and biting winds grudgingly recede, we acknowledge the stark beauty and healing grace of the dormant season, knowing that this time is also necessary for a healthy earth. What we need most of all, Lord, are healthy humans who treat your earth and each other with respect, who purposefully work toward responsible stewardship, and who honor the commandment of love thy neighbor. What we need more of, God, are compassionate people who genuinely care about the future being left to our offspring. Help us, we pray, to model appropriate examples of behavior for the beauty of the earth and the glory of the skies. Help us to encourage the next generation to perhaps do as we say and not as we do. Merciful God, we don't want to leave a legacy of hatred, bombing, and mass shootings for the millions of personal tragedies and losses. We know you grieve with us. There are so many who desperately need shelter, nourishment, and care. Help us to find comfort in the knowledge of your love and in the support of those around us. Bless these beautiful prayer quilts that will be covered with prayers for Agnes and Vern Hoschel, for Allison, and for Amber, from our beloved community of Christian fellowship. May these people find peace and healing from the warmth of love contained within these simple fabrics. Let us now raise in silence our own concerns and joys. As we begin a new week, may the spirit of St. Patrick live within us. Despite 6 years of enslavement, he did not abandon his faith. Rather, he bravely dedicated his life to spreading the gospel in a land ruled by pagan kings and druids who were hostile to his message. The world is full of hostility right now, Lord, but we repeat your prayer of hope, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we come to this time of offering, I ask you to consider if you have been transformed by the ministries of this congregation to become more of a disciple of Jesus Christ, or if you believe in that possibility for yourself and for others, and to consider how you might support the work of these ministries and the ministries of our church at large with your offerings. I also invite Mike Kelly to come forward and share with us a little bit more about our Easter food basket opportunities. May the ushers come forward at this time.
My name is Mike Kelly. Recently, I was talking to Pastor John about the Easter food basket program. And funny enough, Bruce, I said, Pastor John, use me any way you can. How can I help and make this a bigger, better program? I'll do anything, but I won't get in front of the church and speak. And here I am. Food insecurity is a real thing. It impacts about 10% of the people who live in Livingston County, 14% of the people living in Washtenaw County. Bob Hemphill opened with a prayer that said, Lord Jesus, we call out to you as many people in the world are suffering. Show us how to love and how to lead in your name and spread your love and light into all despair. What an opportunity for us to help love and lead. There was a group from this church that went down and helped in CAS yesterday. What did we do? We built food baskets to help to give to people that need a little bit more. There was a group that went down to St. Andrews talking with Russ and Sue this morning. They said they'd never seen as many people down at St. Andrews looking for food and looking for a handout and a warm meal. The good news, we have two ways that we can help, several ways we can help with food insecurity with the Easter basket program. Number one, you saw the three dates. April 25th, you can help pick up food from different places around the community and bring it together. The second is on the 26th, on Thursday the 26th. You can come down and help build between 80 and 100 baskets to be given out on Saturday the 28th. Now, I can wait if you need to write down any of these dates. Three ways that you can help there by participating. The other way that you can help, each basket, the cost of each basket is about $150. Luckily, we've had donations, not only from working with Kroger, but also working with a local food distributor warehouse called Vistar. We've been able to cut that cost almost in half. But we do have an opportunity to cover those costs. So anybody who can't participate but wants to help, it's a great opportunity to give during the season of Easter. The last thing I'll leave you with, so when we read the prayer, when Bob read the prayer and I read it again, a lot of times my thoughts go right to people that need help with things like food or housing. Lord Jesus, we call out to you as so many in our world are suffering. Sometimes people are suffering because you don't know how to help. You don't know how to lean in. Here's a great way to help ease your suffering if you want to help the community. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, bless the offerings we bring to the mission and ministry of this church.
We give because we are grateful that you lived among us. We give because we want others to know you. Use these offerings to find the lost sheep. Amen.
We are all God's children. We are called by God and Jesus to make disciples of all. We're one big family. Let's go out and increase the family and go helping others to know God and love God the way we know and love God and share that with others. Go in peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.